It is day one. On the second day one, I am walking in the dark around the Imperial Palace in the center of Tokyo, which is the capital of Japan. Attached to my chest, in the center there, I'm carrying a hyperbolic camera, which is known as a monadological cinema device, all capital letters, constructed by the very famous person known as Mr. Leibniz, who constructs and sells these devices in his spare time, back in the past. From which place they are available across the internet. This internet, that internet, it makes no difference. The device is expensive, but it offers proof of many previous ideas from the past, which will be explained in the future of this movie. Yes. I'm also carrying a telephone, which has a map and has all the world in it, and which also allows me to, if necessary, purchase additional copies of the monadological cinema device if I am somehow deceived and lose possession of that device. Clipped under my chin, but never scraping that chin, is a fluffy ball known by the frightening name of the Dear Dead Cat, which is the professional name of the device, which is a fluffy ball surrounding a monaural microphone for sound that is connected by a wire to a recording device inside my shirt, which records whatever the fluffy ball hears for the entire day and using microscopic means. Not telescopic. On my wrist is a watch that cannot see, and which has no moving parts except click buttons whose functions I do not remember. This is the GPS watch in which I have received, in conjunction with, when purchasing the monadological cinema device. This watch is a weird, as in, you know, destiny-driven, space recorder, which operates in N dimensions at once. I think that's like 14, though inaccurately, and mainly in the forward direction as I walk, summing together all my joint movements, such as the bending of my knee, the flexing of my thumb, of which I have two, and the hurt in the sole of my foot, which is spelled S-O-U-L in English, in case you didn't know. All of these contradictory motions are summed by the watching watch, which of course is unseeing, to create an adaptable position simulation that can be ethically summed to provide some kind of additional information that, in essence, tells you where you are. By careful thinking, which I've done, of course, carefully, I have come to assume that this relativistic device, this GPS watch, is a device for recording local geostability, local geopolitical stability. And thus, that term, though you might disagree with my personal interpretation of the acronym. In my shoes, surrounding my soul, are socks, which are useful, which I change every other day. The hardened nail creatures that live and grow at the end of my soul toes, of which there are at least 10 there in the dark, live and exist in that place in order to think of the world. And they do this very slowly. This is normal. I assume that the UFOs know about toenails, but if not, this side note should grab their attention. I'm wiggling them. In my rather large but not large enough backpack, inside a plastic bag, I am carrying a battery-powered Geiger counter that comes with an archaic white cable through which electricity enters in reasonable quantities, and out of which later are extracted a series of serial sequences of time-memorialized dot-dits, which are the time-based, scintillating and scintillated pops of the tube inside the recorder next to the battery, which pops occur whenever the battery is used, and also when radiation arrives from wherever it does by radio means. That could be a broadcast station in the backpack, or it could be from inside a UFO in the air, passing through the air. Well, there's also the imaginative possibility that the clicks could be correlated with the cries of the trees here in the dark. But I will leave that to future generations, who, of course, will not be listening to my recordings. They will be watching my recordings, that is to say, watching this movie, which I will have received one dit dot at a time from the radioactivity, which I assume is radio activity, some kind of slow movie on the radio, not television. Something more substantial that requires you go to a place like going to the movies. There are many other cameras and tricks, including small puppets and a teeny theater, which I carry folded in my backpack, which I carry on my back, except on the subway, where space and time are limited, and other passengers are also encumbered with the materials of their professions, such as the miners, who carry picks and shovels, and the children, who are similarly called miners, but are spelled differently, and they carry as much as they possibly can as they move from place to place. So I have to take my backpack off to be polite. Importantly here for this here description is what I keep in my ears, which is a radioactive radio. That's not in the dangerous sense, but in the sense that there, inside my ears, via that method, I am able to receive a more specifically sounded spectrum at high speed, which consists of endless words, which of course come from a coherently dissected interior world that is often inside me, that I coherently have disassembled elsewhere, I guess, and then transmitted here to operate as a personal thinking channel on the radio active radio. Now back in France, where I had flown from to here 27 days ago, or 8 if you consider when I got on the plane, back in France, using the well-known snake language, which is available on the radio for all researchers, such as myself, I was able to knot and unknot the words of that snake language to create a method by which I was able to influence the parallel English-speaking words of my inner world. That is to say, using that language, the snake language, I reorganized in an innumerable fashion all the words that I have ever read in books, so that I can now or later remember that I have read them, even if I never did. There are many variants of this reorganization that I have accomplished in this snake language, of which there are also many variants, none of which I really understand. But I did choose to use one that is available on my computer. It's to my left over there. One variant of that language that is often confused by the wary with a somewhat different language for computers that is known as Python, which is different yet the same, I guess. Using the knotting or connotting and unknotting conundrum possibilities offered by the activities of the snake language, which in my ignorance were often broken and repetitively confused, causing great chaos when they could, I was finally able to convert all the words inside me and in my various temporary internal interior worlds all into an informative sequence that ran continuously throughout the 26-day cycle once that cycle began on September 11th, 2023, after I had landed on the ground at the airport in Tokyo. And this was good. And it was for the good of the world. The question remained whether this sequence and the snake-like methods of organizing it would work when they should, and when they could, and when they would, to the practical end of providing in-flight entertainment to the UFOs when and if they appeared in the air above me, wherever I was among the 26 days. For if that happened, and if I was of my proper wits, I had trained myself to remember that I had prepared a plan, which involved turning on my phone and fumbling for the 26-day radio that I had prepared. And then, if I could, I would play that radio into my ears and think what I heard on the radio to Judai and Juna, who then, etc., etc., would tell these stories to the UFOs and stop them in their tracks. And so I prepared. All the words of my interior world and worlds were placed in order as I could within the limited space of 26 days, each of which contained 24 hours. Seem more logical if there were 26 hours, but that's the way they figured it out. These clumped but punctuated words were chunked to fit within a variety of containers. For instance, it was possible that they might need to fit inside the monadological cinema device. Which always operated as a parallel rendering and recording of the curved hyperbolicness of my interior worlds, which were inside, inner. And so, if the coherent word chunks, as polite visitors, would have to fit without crowding into the camera, without inconveniencing anything else or anyone, I think really anything else that might be there, while also respecting the local laws of hyperbolic curvature, well, that was what would have to be done. And that was the way they would have to act, politely. This was only a possible scenario, but one I did prepare for, since the stakes were high. Inside the punctuated chunks, which were somewhat blobby, and due to the punctuated nature of their self, also almost semi-transparent, due to all the empty space between the words and the letters and the punctuation marks. In this blobby form, the blobs would exist in time. That is to say, the words would run in time, spoken aloud on the private radio, 26 minutes at a time, with an interstitial 4-minute blankness, which would pause to create a 30-minute thud in the oceans of time, after which 4-minute silence, the next 26 minutes would begin. This all would run from 8 a.m. until 11:30 p.m. every day, though I often change the starting and stopping hours of the imaginary radio to correlate with the proper division of the chunks. Anyway, no one could hear it but me, even though I wasn't usually listening, so it wasn't really a problem if it started at the wrong time or ended at the wrong time. But in any case, from 11:30 p.m. to 8 a.m., roughly speaking, outside of all that, the station was silent. Thus, within the day, each day, there were 26 programs of my interior world. That is to say, of books that I had already read, And each of these programs was 26 minutes long. Exactly. With polite silences in between, of course. So every day for 26 days, this world would play on the radio, ready to be heard as I searched the world with my GPS watch, my telephone, and my single copy of the Monadological Cinema device, and with the fluffy, pessimistic cat that covered my chin mic, far below which were attached my poor, sad feet, and elsewhere my half-blind eyes, and then my unblinking ears, which were covered at times by the radioactivity receptor things that allowed me to hear what they said as they said it on the radio as I walked, if I was listening. Meanwhile, in the plastic bag and the backpack, the silent Geiger counter was giggling to its scintillated self for no reason at all, or for reasons that I would later learn when I watched the slow movie that it was recording, also continuously, over 24 hours of each of the 26 days, that is to say the days of the first cycle, immediately followed by a reset and the beginning of the second cycle. And that is where I was here on the first day of the second cycle. I was walking around the Imperial Palace in the center of Tokyo. I was walking around the center. I wasn't in the center. I could not see the UFOs that surrounded me. In my ears, the radio was playing a book about black holes, telling me all about little particles that live there in some kind of courtly hierarchy. Very polite. I thus and therefore then remembered and did so. I transmitted the book by thinking. Of course, it's very simple to Judai and Juna. And so it was that Judai and Juna came to create. I might not have done this. I might not have remembered, but fortunately I did. I guess I must have been bored and I pressed the button. And so it was that Judai and Juna came to create a very long book review in order to interest the UFOs in this book and thus encourage them not only to stop in the sky, but perhaps purchase their own copies over their own interesting internets, which would, of course, take more time, which was the point. And since they also, the UFOs also, would also be talking out loud in the sky, what they thought heard from Judai and Juna, well, perhaps then others would overhear as the UFO spoke and stop in their tracks as well and learn what they could, buy what they should, in order to save the world, according to currently acceptable methods, about which we have many doubts. And thus, this book review by Juna and you die. Since this is the first day, this is the first of many such reviews, even though there were many also in the first cycle, which is elsewhere.